Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, aren't things wonderful nowadays? Isn't life a breeze? Aren't we all happy? Maybe we have questions. Maybe it's not as nice a picture as we'd like. So in order to understand this better, I've asked one of my closest friends, who I do a lot of online discussion groups with and meditations, and she's one of the board members of Heart River and also has been a Heart River teacher. So I really believe in her profundity. So I've asked her to be a guest and talk about this wonderful time we're in. And, you know, maybe let's just call it interesting rather than wonderful. So, Lisa Denton, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you so much, Peter Roth. It's so wonderful to be here. It's always a delight to talk with you.
Well, we have a subject matter that might not be so easy to talk about because life on this planet is very complicated. There's so many things that have gone wrong. And maybe there are some things that have gone right or going right in ways that we need to grasp and get a better feeling about. And I know that you see things in, let's call it the higher way, that there's really a bigger picture to this that I appreciate as well. But we can talk about that as well as what that means in light of this frightening time that we're in. So what do you have to say about that?
Yes, I think I've said this recently publicly that it was you who said many years ago to me when I was going through a particularly challenging time, and you said, yeah, but your soul is so entertained. And I was like, oh, no, it's not. This is hard. And I'm like, no. The soul's just entertained about it all.
Well, that's true. You know, our souls aren't the worriers. It's our egos that are.
Right. Because our soul, we're just, whether we are enjoying the experience or not enjoying the experience, our soul is expanding because it's experiencing something new for the first time. So so it's an interesting, entertaining time that we are in right now.
Right, our souls came here for this.
Yes, very much so. So, you know, I do really, it's a wonderful thing. It's very important for me, actually. It's a of highest priority that I can go back and see the macro picture of what's going on and bring that to the micro, because there, you know, everything is a hologram, as we have discussed. I love that tree of life image where inside every one of the sephiroth, there's another whole sephiroth, and inside each one of those individual spheres, there's another. I mean, it's a hologram. It doesn't stop. It keeps going. And so if we can keep garnering wisdom from the macro level, it really helps us to come down to the micro and apply that in a way so we don't get so lost in the details that we can't control. Because in life, there are so many things we can't control. And when we go from the old paradigm, which is pull up your bootstraps and work harder to control the external world, we've got the cart before the horse, because we know that the power of all of creation is in the unseen world. Is consciousness precedes manifestation. So if we see that what we are experiencing today is actually a result of the collective consciousness historically, then that's a good thing, because we are seeing the revealing, which I love that word that you brought up a few weeks ago, of all of the poison and the things that don't work and the dysfunction and the disconnect that has really been so much a part of our society, our relationships, our economy, our global relationships. And so we are seeing that for what it is, and it needs to come to the surface. And therefore, it is happening for us individually, our fears, our frustrations, our disconnect, our angers, all of our unresolved things are coming to the surface for us to see. which makes it, of course, exponentially more difficult because then we're challenged personally and we're challenged globally and societally. But it's all because we're actually, this is underneath this disconnect from the truth of who we really are is needing to come to the surface so that we can correct that.
Well, the way I see it is that we've built a very superficial society based on what the Mayans have said is the more of the left brain energy of the last 360 years of building a society based on male dominance, mm-hmm. inequality, and materialism in ways that lead to corruption and greed. Mm-hmm. And so this society, its values have been distorted. And it goes on and on. Like, for instance, our media, you know, our exposure is to a material beauty or perfection that's based on more, 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 more. How do I get more? And or even food-wise, satisfying us with inadequate foods that satisfy a superficial desire, mm-hmm. not a healthy desire. And so we're in a world that is very confusing to most people who don't know any better. And on so many levels, even like the pharmaceutical world is all based on drugs and artificial ways of healing that don't really get the job done as well as natural ways would, but they've outlawed those. You know, there are so many excellent modalities that we're not allowed to be exposed to, mm-hmm. because of corruption and greed. And so it goes on and on how much reality has to shift to another set of values.
Right, absolutely. And I, on the macro level, on a higher level, would see that as for the last, I think you said 360, but I think you meant 360,000 years or something.
No, actually, there are different sine waves.
Sure.
One of the sine waves that the Mayans used had to do with 360 years, but there was another that had to do more with a couple thousand years and has to do like the Piscean age versus, you know, the Aquarian age.
Right, so that the Piscean age being more male, masculine dominated, the Aquarian age much is all about balance of female and male energy.
Right.
But what's, you know, I think that we have had this whole longer period of our evolution and the, actually all of our historical experience here is that we had put blinders on and forgotten who we really are.
But these are patterns that we're meant to be.
Yes.
You know, what you're sounding like is an expert about the Indian yugas, which actually has patterns that are hundreds of thousands of years long, as well as minute patterns that
right.
we're in. And they all relate to how our minds are managed in either superficial or loving, deep, harmonic ways that aren't always available to us. Our screen is frozen, so I presume the audience can keep hearing me, but right now you were, to you I was frozen, to me you were frozen.
Right.
But anyway, we're back now.
Okay. So that is that, you know, we purposefully forgot who we really were for this experiment of being human so that through this wonderful circle and cycle of karma, we could experience all this incredible contrast in the world and you know, fully experience cold so we could fully, experience heat. But we're at the end of that cycle now. And so what happened is over a long period of time, if you forget who you really are, your true nature, that the bulk of us resides in a higher dimension, we are spiritual beings having a physical reality, that we will always be fed. Our life force energy is endless, and there are unlimited possibilities, and there is not scarcity. But we are sort of had forgotten that our sense of fullness and love and well-being and being creators as opposed to reactors, we had forgotten all that. So there has been this actual preying upon people's need to fill our senses, our, you know, Swiss cheese holes within ourselves, where our senses were not being refilled and replenished because we had forgotten how to create that connection unless we gave up our daily lives and went into monasteries and temples and then just sought that spiritual connection.
Well, also, there have been scientists in the past that tried to measure how life works to support us and have figured out that it operates through lack. And we've been programmed to think that there's too much lack and we have to fight for what we can get. And that's really not the case. If we really understood that there's enough to go around, we just need to use it properly, then we wouldn't be fighting in a survival mode the way we have been.
Right. And I think that's exactly correct, what you just said, because we have been historically and generationally been taught that there is scarcity and there is separateness. So we always have to fight. So that the commercialism of things really preys upon that. So that is what the materialism, get more, there's only a certain amount, so you better go out and get more of whatever it is. But now, you know, I think that's one of the most beautiful things, regardless of how COVID started, is that it was an essential part of our realizing that if something happens here on our planet, it affects everybody. If you smash your foot, your whole body is affected. How you walk, how you think, your focus, everything. And that's true of humanity. If one part of our human life is totally challenged, it affects everything rather quickly. And so we're moving into a place where we're understanding that we need to be more responsible for the human life stream. And that moves us more into unity consciousness and away from this lack mentality, because there is endless, unlimited life force energy. And that is where manifestation occurs, it's the consciousness. Changing the consciousness creates the manifestation, and there are unlimited possibilities. So there isn't scarcity, and there actually is unity consciousness. But we're in the midst of the chaos of the revealing of all this dysfunction,
right,
and misinformation.
And showing us actually more lack than ever by all the social distancing and all the ways businesses are shut down. And there is so much that we're being deprived of. Mm-hmm. And when this is over, we'll have more values based on wholeness than we've had before. Mm-hmm. And you and I had been talking about how the dolphins have come back to
the canals in Venice rather quickly. I don't know if they're still there as things reopened or not, but I know rather quickly. And you could see the Himalayan mountains again, that where you had not been able to for years. And
so we're learning that we can actually have a society where we have things that we had lost. And how do we bring things back properly? And I'm very optimistic about science and new innovations and technologies that will give us so much more. We won't have a carbon-based planet, and things will really become much more holistic, and there'll be plenty of new agricultural means to have more food available, new ways to have more water available, and we won't have the lack that we've had. So edit out is this little part.
I intuited everything you just said, so it's okay.
That's cool. All right.
I think for us individually to remember that our the major part of us, our real selves, resides in a higher realm, and that we are whole, and that we need now to actually drop all of these distortions and all of these this misinformation and these illusions of separateness and lack, and for ourselves remember that instead of problem solving, instead of going out and trying to fix, actually, if we remember the amount of life force energy available to us, and we keep our intention focused in our highest possible wish in the most humanitarian way, that's the most powerful way we can start to move forward. And that doesn't mean that we don't still have to drop off our denser frequencies or our emotional, our unresolved emotional connections to experiences we've had in the past that keep us in a loop of fear or anger or resentment. And that's all then about what kind of practice do you have to silence the mind so that you are not at the mercy of the mind, but you actually can silence the mind to find out what you're really feeling, to actually start experiencing the power of the now, and then utilize the mind as a library, as a source of data for you. And it's a very different way of being. It's very sort of, but it is putting the horse before the cart again, which is, can you silence the mind and get in the now so that you can remember who you really are and use that power to create change for the future and not be fear-based?
Yeah, what you're talking about is something I learned many years ago with Silva Mind Method, is that when we move into that more silent space, we open up different brainwave frequencies, the alpha wave, theta wave, that come forth and connect us in deeper ways to higher consciousness. And so when we get out of our mind and get into these states of consciousness that are very peaceful, we actually then are connected to the universal computer that inspires us with new ideas, new information that our normal brains can't get to because we're struggling so hard to think. Mm-hmm. And it's better just to allow and receive. And all of a sudden we're inspired in new and better ways that we never thought of before.
Right. Well, this, I don't even think it's Mercury retrograde, but I'm just sitting here and my light just went out for no reason. So we're having some technical glitches here today. So,
well, most of the people will be listening to us on radio.
Oh, okay.
There is some video available because we're doing this on Zoom, but it's mostly a radio show, so no one will know that your light went out.
Okay. But yes, and that's really such an important thing to remember, is that the mind is the keeper of the data, and it only has in it anything from our history that we can maintain the concept of. And so, so therefore, it is only projecting thoughts about the future based on experiences of the past, which keeps it limited because it only was within that framework. And so that's why it's so important to find any practice, any kind of practice. It could be running. It could be, breathing, pranayama. It could be any sort of practice that can get you to quiet the mind, because that isn't where our greatest source of information or inspiration comes from. I've used this often, but Beethoven created his last symphony deaf. It wasn't his physical ears. He was channeling that in that he could feel the music coming through him, and that comes the opportunity for us to relearn.
All right. I don't know. You want to rehash what you were just saying? Can you remember?
I'm sure I can, but you know how we just get in the moment and flow. Yeah. So, but yes, it very very much that. Any kind of practice that we can learn to quiet the mind. And I use the example of Beethoven, who wrote his last symphony, with his ear. He was deaf, but he intuited, he felt the music running through him. And so our inspiration, our motivation, our creative expression, our creations are most powerful when they come from a place, not from the mindset place of trying to work harder to make it happen. It's actually, it is getting the source energy to, that's just what you were saying, finding a place of other pathways of the brain where you are just getting source different, you know, a higher frequency of inspiration.
But a lot of people don't know that that's available. And they think their mind is all they have. And you and I, because we're both highly intuitive, we know that we receive so much information that we wouldn't know otherwise by stilling our minds and allowing, being receptive, and allowing all kinds of information to flow in that most people have no idea happens that way.
Right. And I think that's where it's you and I are so devoted in ways to getting that information out there. You know very well that I had an NDE at age 10 that changed my life. And knowing that I was me outside of my body, it changes everything when you're a small child and that's my body, but I'm me and I'm great and it's bliss and home. Right. And so it is, so getting the word out there now, you know, even Alexander has a whole, I know his book and his experience, and there are many, many corroborations of NDEs now scientifically coming out of really that we are spiritual beings having a physical reality.
Right. And unless it happens to you, it's hard for a lot of other people to comprehend it or even believe it. Yet hundreds of thousands of people have now had NDEs because the medical world can resuscitate people a lot better than they used to. And so people have opportunities to experience their spiritual nature, and it does change your lives totally.
Right. And that's what we're all now hoping to wake people up to their true nature so that people can give up this the scarcity, lack, separatism, these that have really propagated potential for manipulation and greed and power and control and all of that, and marketing and materialism, that we are at the precipice of a whole new rebuilding. And that's what we started off saying is, can we actually use this time where there is a revealing of all that has been distorted, and it's just such a beautiful opportunity, because then we can all make different choices, because we do affect each other all the time. We're a human collective consciousness creating this reality together. And I think, again, that's why COVID is such a beautiful holy pause moment for us to have all needed to stop. I don't like the separateness, but getting us off of that hamster.
Or the illness.
Yeah, or the illness for sure, or the suffering. But that the required pause for us to reprioritize our lives individually and collectively is massive. So the opportunity is pretty huge. And I'm very hopeful, although it doesn't make it comfortable. And I've used this before, it's very graphic, but you know, when you're vomiting, you don't want to look at every piece of bad shrimp that comes out and try to analyze it, but you need to clear stuff out. And then that keep sipping that beautiful, fresh, clean water, which is that self-love, the self-care, the practice of self-nurturing, so that you can be more present in. It's complicated, but I'm very hopeful, because in this time when we had a forced unplug from the hamster wheel of this very driven, externally driven to-do society, this forced pause actually has helped people and societies and communities start to reprioritize their lives, both for individuals and communities and globally. And I'm very hopeful that there are enough people who are waking up to the possibilities of all that we can work differently. We can have supportive communities differently. You know, one of the great things is to see how there are so many people who work tirelessly for the service of our communities. And look at all of the gratitude that went to the garbage workers, the ambulance you know, the special service people, yeah. And that there's so much gratitude for those people of service that has not been there before. There are things that people are waking up and saying, oh my gosh, we couldn't run as a society without all these people who are growing our food and driving the trucks here.
We're going to have a lot of new priorities, but I think it's going to take a while for us to weigh them and weigh everything else going on that's from the past and know how to restructure things to really honor our new values that we've learned to appreciate.
No question. And again, the dolphins came back pretty quickly. So nature wants to be in balance. So if we can keep getting all of the gunk out of the way, I'm hoping we can right the ship relatively quickly here on the planet and live in unity consciousness and abundance consciousness and cooperation and get out of the competition, scarcity kinds of things that have really gotten us in trouble as a human life stream.
Right. And as I said earlier, technology is introducing, science is growing in ways that will really overcome so much of limited resources and opportunities that we've had before.
No question. I am so excited. You know, you and I worked for quite a bit with Mark Newkirk, who unfortunately, I'm sure his soul is brilliantly happy at the moment, but we lost a great inventor and a brilliant man there. But working, to develop technologies, there are so many beautiful scientists out there and inventors and technologies that they're just coming into fruition. And I am really hopeful about that. I hope I get the opportunity to work with more people like that.
I'm sure. Yeah.
In the future, because, oh my gosh, even if you just think of AI, and we can use AI to take care of a lot of manual labor kinds of jobs that a community and a society needs to get done so that more humans can be focused on their greatest inspirations and joys. And a lot of the menial tasks can be taken care of with, you know, AI or, you know, we have, and not just that, but beautiful things. Can we structure water to fertilize all of our plants so that we don't need to use chemicals anymore? Can we structure the water to give the information to all the different crops and plants what they need to flourish? And the frequency and the music.
Yeah, that's wonderful. We can do shows about technology like that. That's great.
Yeah.
We've run out of time. And so, Lisa Denton, how can people reach you?
Well, they can always reach me through the Heart River Center. But after all these years, I will be having a website up soon, and it will be lisadenton.com. It's not up yet. But it will be soon, so you can check that out. And if it's not up yet, I'm giving in.
Okay, great.
And Peter through the Heart River Center, you can Peter will always be able to direct any communication to me. And okay. Peter, it's Thank always you. A delight, always well, fun. Yeah. We could talk for hours and hours and hours.
over the years. So Lisa Denton, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.